So a little girl was sitting on her grandfather's lap as he read her a bedtime story. And from time to time, she would take her eyes off the book and reach up and touch his wrinkled cheek. And she would alternately stroke her own cheek and then his again. And finally, she spoke up and said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" "Oh, yes, sweetheart," he answered. "God made me a long time ago." "Oh," she paused. "Grandpa, did God make me too?" "Yes, indeed, honey," he said. "God made you just a little while ago." Feeling their faces once again, she observed, "God's getting better at doing it, isn't he?" What we observe, especially as children, well, is God getting better? No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he might be getting better in our lives in the sense we are connecting with him. You know, there's the song that Sam sang this morning, "More Love, More Power." It isn't that God hasn't given us all things, but we're at a place where, you know, I'm sorry, it's a bowling alley. And I want to get a strike. And it's split here. Anyhow, but God has given us all things through Christ Jesus. But as we surrender to him, we experience more of him, more of his love and more of his power. And that's the desire of our hearts, is to experience him more. So this morning, the title of it is a song and a something from John. And the idea is the word abiding in you as you abide in him. So if you want to turn, I'm going to show you here, we're going to look at Psalm 46 and something from John 15. Don't turn to Psalms, turn to John. We're going to start there this morning. John 15, verses 1 to 8. And it starts, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. And you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." So I'm just not going to pop up all the Bible verses this morning, and I'm hoping you're going to turn in the word or turn on your version on your phone and go there. I love this. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off the branches in me that bear no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more love, more power, fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you." That word, this is going to be a mouthful here. That word in the Greek is logos, meaning the living voice that embodies the concepts or idea of what God says. And Jesus is that living word. He embodies the concepts and the ideas of God, what he intended. So we're going to hold on to that for a minute. And we're going to look at the statement that Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the logos word I've spoken to you." And you go to the Strong's, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. It's Kathrasas or something like that, and I'm not good at pronouncing Greek. But it means you are already clean or pure. Physically, it means like being purified by fire. Like a vine that has been cleansed or pruned, so it will bear more fruit. Levitically, it's the sense of being clean or not forbidden. And nothing about the clean thing imparts uncleanliness. Ethically, You're free from corruption, desire, sin, guilt, falseness. You're sincere, genuine. You're blameless, innocent, unstained with the guilt of anything. Now, you're going to say, well, that doesn't all sound like me, but does it sound like Jesus? Who is blameless, free from any guilt, who is sincere and genuine, who imparts no uncleanliness, who is fit to bear fruit, has been purified. Is that Jesus, or has always been pure? Is that Jesus? Is he the vine? And what flows from him flows to us. So what's in him has made us what? All that he is, so are we because of his blood, because of what he's done, because he is the vine who brings life to us. So you have already been made clean, he says, by the words I've spoken to you. Let's take and ponder that a moment. Is it about you? No, it's about him. That logos word, that living voice. And in fact, in John, here, let me give you some scripture this morning. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And though all things were made through him, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hello. That's the same word, logos. I don't know if you can see that up there. Logos, the living voice that embodies the concept or ideas of God. In the beginning was this living voice that embodied the concepts or ideas of God. It's Jesus. He was with God, this living voice. He was God. And through him is life. And he is the light. And we have to stop and allow ourselves to not just read it the way we do it because we know it by heart and we can quote it by heart, but stop and let that living word live and breathe inside of you, inside of me. Embodying. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That living word. That living vine. Jesus has made you clean because you have heard the word, you believe the word, and it's come along and stripped and pruned away that which is unfruitful in your life. So when he's talking about fruit, what does that mean? What does fruit look like? Well, if we just do the simple Galatians 5, and let me sing you a song from way back in kids' club days, just like Jesus loves me. And it goes like this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And everybody with me? Na, 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 na. What's in the root shows in the fruit. Na, 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 na. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll tell you what, you can ask any of our kids who were in Kids Club back about 5 or 6 years ago, and they can sing that song for you. They know what the fruit of the Spirit is, but what's in the root, what's in the vine, shows in the branches, in the fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit, but what's the opposite of that? The fruit of the flesh. Galatians goes on to tell us what that is. It's obvious, it says. The acts of the flesh are obvious. They're sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, fractions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So though for those of you who are math teachers, Scripture clearly tells us that it is the fruit of the flesh because it says fractions. Just saying. Sorry. Just kidding. But here we are. We can be a branch in the vine, or we can be in the flesh, and you're going to produce fleshly stuff. It's not in the vine, and you're going to shrivel up and die, because that's what it tells you to throw in the front. I won't go all that place. What are the other things besides that? Mark 14:9 tells us. But worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So there are things that can happen with us branches when we're not remaining in the vine. And there are things that kind of take us out of the flow. We're still in the vine, but your branch will die. If I can put it that way, you'll be unfruitful. And what happens? The Lord's going to take out all that's unfruitful, prune it away. Jesus says, remain, and this is back to John 15, remain in me, and I, as I also remain in you. Okay, what's Jesus promised to us? To never leave or forsake us. That's his promise, to never leave. He's going to remain in us. But as it says here, remain in me, we have a choice. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. You're not the vine. So stop trying to be the vine. Stop with selfish ambition. That's flesh. Remain in him. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh. If you do not remain in me, you're like the branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word, my rhema word, what I've spoken to you remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What? Let me read that again. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And then it goes on to say this. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, all of us here have heard how many messages on the vine and the branches? Probably hundreds. Some of you, I could more than hundreds, maybe thousands, but maybe that's pushing it, I don't know. And we have to come back to it to remind ourselves, do you feel like there's fruitfulness in your life? Is there the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? Is there all the fruit of the Spirit? And if not, doesn't mean that you've been cut out, but maybe you're a little withered because you're kind of not connecting real well to the vine. And it's challenging to hear that sometimes, but don't you love the fact that Jesus says, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you? So just reconnect. Come on, let's go back to that place of intimacy with him where his words, the thing that he embodies, flows through our hearts and our lives. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As believers drawing from our source of life, letting it flow through us. What's in the root, what's in Jesus, our root, will flow through us. And it has made us clean. He has made us clean. The branch didn't do it. The vine did. And apart from him, he says, you can do nothing. If my word remains in you, Jesus is the word. The living word, the spoken truth, who's spoken with love and grace, and letting that remain in us. What does that mean? Well, there's two kind of parts to it. First of all, it's about your faithfulness in relationship to him. We know he's faithful. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. But we have to be faithful to him as well. Keep connecting. Keep that relationship going. And then there's the other part of it, and that is obedience to the word, this life source that's flowing through us, this living word. Now, let me give you an example here. Jesus' word says to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, make it obedient to him. You know Jesus, and you know his words and what he has said, but do you obey it? Do you let yourself dwell in negative thoughts and the worries of the world? And are you seeing no fruitfulness because of that? So let's say there's a conversation with Jesus. It's, you say, Jesus, and I don't know what your situation is, but this and that. And Jesus says to you, what have I already done about this problem? Take that thought captive. And you respond, yeah, but. And besides, it takes too long. Oh, Jesus says, so your problem is that you lack patience to trust me to bring this about in your life. Oh, no. Maybe we'll have a little pity party and a little give ourselves a time out with Jesus. Pout a bit. See, it's the flesh versus the spirit. And maybe in that time out, a little pruning happens. And you as the branch recognize, I need to be obedient to the word and take the thought captive. And that's just one word. The Lord has given us lots of things to help us, to guide us. But again, we need to be obedient to the word, to follow through on the direction and the guidance. You are the branches, not the vine. And abiding is a discipline of the believer. We actually can't detach ourselves from the vine, if I can put it that way, but we can close off. Seal off from it, and eventually we wither and die. If you feel like you're withering and dying on the vine, and you need help, well, let's move on. We want to be eating from the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We want to not be the vine, but the branch. That's where the life is, allowing the life of Jesus to flow through us. But we're going to do this. We're going to move on, I think, maybe, from John to Psalms 46. And I'm going to tie it up here for you in a minute, but let's go to Psalm 46 here. And it says, our God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in trouble. Anybody here heard that before? Okay. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake in their surging. Sound like a pretty rough time? But our strength, our refuge is our God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That river's name is Jesus. And the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproars. Yeah? Sound familiar? Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he has brought to the earth. Now listen to how he brings desolation to the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and shatters the spears and burns the shields with fire. Does it sound like an end of war? Sounds like a God who terrifies us. Only if you're a warmonger. And then he says this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. Say hallelujah. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So we're going to focus in. I mean, I'm sorry, you could take that one psalm and live the rest of your life in the goodness of God in that one psalm, knowing that Jesus is through. I mean, that's so good. God is for us. He's not against us. He's our strength, our top. You can read it. In fact, I encourage you to. But verse 10, be still and know that I am God. We know this one. We quote it all the time. We hear it all the time. Be still and know that I am God. So what does this word be still, what does it mean? It means to stop striving. To let go. Don't you hear Ivan saying, let go and let Jesus? And surrender. Stop trying to be the vine. Surrender. Let it be the easy flow of that river from the kingdom. You know, when Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm was raging. Now, who was the majority? What was the career of the majority of the people in that boat? And they're freaking out. So this ain't a little storm. These fishermen know how to navigate a boat in a storm, and they're freaking out. So this is some storm going on. And Jesus is sound asleep. And they wake him up. You know, don't you know what's going on here? And he's not happy about it. Where's your faith? And he doesn't quietly say to the storm, peace be still. He yells at it. Peace, be still. Now, I'm wondering if he's a little annoyed at, you know, part of it is his annoyance at his disciples. But at the storm, he speaks the authority that is his. Peace, be still. And that word peace literally means shut up. Hush, shut up. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So that meaning is shut up, hush. Like I said, driving with kids in the back seat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Eventually it's, well, if you're kind and nice, it's hush. If you're frustrated, it's shut up. And this is what he says to the storm. And you know what? It's interesting that when you do a study on that, that whatever you're speaking to doesn't have a choice. It doesn't get to volunteer whether it shuts up or not. Involuntarily, it has to shut up. It has to shut up. It has to be still. And then when he says, the meaning of the word be still means muzzled, stop the mouth, become speechless, keep in check, reduce to silence. And God says to us, be still. Maybe some of us need to shut up and listen. Maybe some of us need to be muzzled or muzzle ourselves and listen. Come and check. It says, be still and know. That word know means not only learn to know, it doesn't mean you're going to know right off the bat, but you're going to learn to know God. That means relationship, right? Taking time to start perceiving him. Find out about him. Discern him. Know by experience. Anybody ever had a wonderful experience with God? Do you know something about God through it? Sometimes we forget to go back. That's why it's wonderful to journal. To journal those things down and go back and remember. Oh. To recognize and admit. You know, when you go back and you read those things and you recognize and you admit, That's right. I acknowledge what God's done. I confess what he's done in my life. To be acquainted with him. To know his words and be wise. Being that vine with the word, the living word of God flowing through us. Oops. Am I going backwards here? Yes, I am. Forgive me. Oop, come on. And we did Psalm 46. So, say with me, be still and know that I and what is what? Be still and know that I am God. Here's another one. Be still and know that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Be still and know that I am the path, the gate, the door. Be still and know that I am the good shepherd, as Merlin shared with the kids this morning and us. Be still and know that I am the bread of life. Be still and know that I am the resurrection and the life. Be still and know that I am the light of the world. Be still and know that I am the true vine. Those are the I ams of Jesus, but there's the names of God. Be still and know. And these are the, let me get this going here. That I am Elohim, your creator. And I'll put the scripture right behind it. I am Elohim Shayim. If I got that right, Shayim. He is the living God. He's Abba, Father. Be still and know I am Abba. Be still and know I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. Be still and know that I am your peace. And you know that word peace goes beyond just the word peace, quiet, still. It has so much more. I encourage you to do a little word study. Elo Elohim, he is your sovereign God, King, Lord of Lords. El Kanan, he is jealous for you. There's nothing better than him. And he doesn't want to see you caught off into something else. He is El Rio. He sees you, the God who sees you. Jehovah Rio, your shepherd. Jehovah Nisi, his banner over me. And what is his banner over me? Love. His banner over me is love. His love for you is amazing. His love in you is amazing. Abiding in the vine is as simple as being still. Stop your striving, let go, surrender, and know I am. He's the right now God for the right now problem. And we as believers, we as those branches, just need to stay connected to that vine. Have relationship with him and be obedient to the word. We've come to don't like that word obedient, but it's just surrendering, letting go, letting that life flow through us that we have and following the guidance that he has given us. Amen? Amen. Be still and know how good our God is. We'll bring the prayer box forward and we're going to pray for that in there. And, you know, if you have a prayer need this morning and you just want somebody to come lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, you can come forward. We'll do that too. All right? That's the word. There's obedience in that. If you are sick, call the elders. Have them anoint you with oil and pray for you. All right, there's nothing in the, okay, the box is empty. So that means all the prayers are answered. No, but they are actually, but we will see them. All right, so Father, again, we thank you. You are so good. And Jesus, what we have in you is so unbelievable. You are the tree of life for us. You are the source. You are our vine. And Lord, as branches, we thank you. You prune out that which is lifeless and not producing anything good for us so that we can bear much fruit.
Oh, Lord, we desire that. I pray for each one here, Lord, that this week that just that one verse from Scripture, that one line, "Be still and know that I am God," just runs through them like the sap in a branch to know how good you are. Father, thank you again for the day that we have, for this opportunity now to gather and eat a meal together. And again, we pray blessing on the food in the hands that have prepared it. And we just want to rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.